Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Reborn Identity.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Lord, I come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise. I bow before your throne with the worries of my day. For I know that you will hear me when I kneel to pray. But only if I listen and
this wonderful song. This is one of my all-time favorites, If We Obey. I am so excited to be back. It's been a while. We had just a brief moment there with Jim Eyre, the Vice President of Adventist World, last month, but this is Vivian Kelly welcoming you back to our show with Ruthie Munoz. Ruthie, are you there?
I am here.
It's been a while, my friend. It's been a while. And I wanted to see how you're doing. And I'm glad to be back after, it's been a year.
It
Can
sure
you
has.
Believe it's been a year?
Time flies.
Time flies when you're having plenty of fun. This is Ruthie Munoz. She has been doing many things while we've been away from the show. And Ruthie, so tell me how these several many weeks have been going for you.
Well, they have been a time of growing and learning and doubting and re-edifying and all that good stuff. Basically a time of being human. I sent off my youngest daughter to college. So that was first to get her graduated, which was, you know, such a blessing and such a time of celebration and Thanksgiving. And then to be able to get her off to college and just, you know, being there for her through this difficult transition, because it is a transition for her, even though she didn't realize it at the time, of coming into her own and getting to know herself and being able to get along with other people, or when she doesn't get along with other people, finding, helping her find constructive ways of dealing with it. And so, you know, it's been a challenge. And then I'm back in school myself. I'm at a university now, which is a whole other ballgame.
Yes, it is.
And trying to continue to heal and work on my arm and hoping, you know, to be able to go back to work soon. And then I've just, I've been writing lately for a Latin bilingual paper out of the university. And so it's been a lot of fun. It's helped me find my voice. It's taken me back to something that I love, which is writing. And this semester is a challenge. I've been sick the whole semester, but, you know, God is good. And even when I went through a period, in all honesty, I went through a period where I was doubting my faith and just doubting there were some things that happened which made me question my faith and things that that God had revealed to me that kind of didn't turn out the way that I had foreseen. And God's been faithful throughout it all. You know, it's not something that I'm proud of. You know, as a mature Christian, you feel that you're not going to go through that doubting phase. But, you know, it's something that happened. And God has been really faithful. He hasn't turned his back on me. He's, like, walked me through it. So interesting. What about you?
So, yeah, you know what? You're saying faithfulness. Faithfulness, and of course, that's the name of our program tonight. Great is his faithfulness, isn't it? He knows that we're human. We're going to doubt sometimes. We're going to kind of veer a little bit, but he's still there. He's still there for us. I must say, I'm glad to hear you on the air again. You and I have not been able to talk very much because you're going somewhere or I'm going somewhere and doing something. But, you know, I'm now a chaplain at the local hospital, which I'm very excited about that. At the same time, the experiences as a chaplain has allowed me to really see his faithfulness. And I'm there with people that are, you know, who just lost their loved ones. And I get it now. I really, really, really get it. What God wanted me to experience and allowed me to experience so that I'm able to help others. And it's the saddest thing. But at the same time, it's rewarding in other aspects because you get to meet people and you get to witness to them. And that's not your agenda. Your agenda is to be there for them. But, you know, when they ask who you are and if they're not walking with the Lord, they're able to talk to them. And then, of course, you know, I started at the university. Like you said, university, this is my third year going into the university, so it's a different dynamic. Finding myself reading. it's funny reading something and going, what did I just read?
Like the rest of us, Dion.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, but you know, at the same time, the other day, I just had to get up and put on my Facebook, you know, I am thankful that I'm getting up in the morning and I'm seeing and I'm hearing and I'm feeling and I'm, you know, because sometimes we take things for granted and it is an adventure. And, you know, God has so many things planned for us, and I know. I was talking with a God, you know, every single day, but, you know, you get into these conversations where people would hear your conversation, they think you're talking to someone in the room. And I was talking to him, I said, you know, Lord, what next? We a total of, 15 people. A total of 15 to 20 people have been baptized in the two harvests that I've been working on. And God has really shown me what I really need to allow Him to work on me, because if I say, let me work on it myself, you know, it's not going to happen. And you know, I just think that this is a really great turning point in all of our lives. It's the end of the year, and being thankful for everything, for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And just continue to pray that more good comes, but as well that when the bad comes, that He will walk us, you know, through it. And when the ugly comes, that He will carry us through it. Because, you know, we're getting some ugly things. You know, I just found out that, you know, everybody that lives in California, we're sitting at the edge of our seat, because they're thinking of raising the gas prices to another 18 cents. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, and it's already at 4. And, you know, it's amazing, but there's some tough times coming along, and people are really suffering. Just many people are suffering, and people are suffering because their family have given up, literally, and have taken their lives. I mean, it's a mess. And so I need to continue praying for these individuals, these families, but also realizing that John 16:33, we're going to go through tribulations. And then I got my first flu shot. So with that said, it's been an adventure. In the harvest, it has been an adventure. Mm-hmm. What can I say? When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, He will show you what's needed and what is to be done. So, you know how that is. And I know that you're driving. I know that you're driving, so I'm cognizant of that. So those who are hearing Ruthie coming in and out, that's Ruthie is driving, but she's dedicated to being on. And so it's exciting to just have her back on. I have a prayer request. I have several prayer requests. So I don't know what you have to think. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, have you found, because I've found that going back to school at our age, you know, my learning style has changed immensely from what it used to be. And, you know, when you were talking about when you asked the Holy Spirit to show you, man, I've really been asking the Holy Spirit to show me what my learning style is now, because my retention rate is not.
No,
I can't pull those all-nighters, you know, like when I was 18 and 20. Is that something that you found that as well?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was speaking to someone, and honestly, I thought I maybe should go for testing for some kind of dementia or something, because I find myself, and I'm not claiming it, just letting you know, but I find myself reading a certain chapter and finishing it and going, what did I just read? And then reading all over again, it's like, wow, this looks so new to me. And I just know I read it. So yes, the memory there is quite challenging. So some people are telling me that I should drink ginseng, I should, you know, do some other healthy things, healthier things, and I'm going to attempt to do that. But yes, I find myself that my attention span is, it's like, and in fact, let me put it this way. There is a class that I thought, oh, I'm going to ace, right? This is going to be a piece of cake. And then the other class, I was like, oh, I'm not going to really, this one is going to be really extra hard. I find myself that in the class that should have been the easiest is the one that I'm, you know, I'm not going to brag about a B plus, but yeah, I'll brag about it. It's not really bragging. It's more like an, oh my goodness, it was a B plus than an A. And the other one that I didn't think I was going to do well, I'm getting an A. So it's like, okay, Lord, teach me. And then apply what I'm learning to also learning my memory verses. Because so, it just with everything. If it's not capturing my attention, it's gone. And you know, like you say, the all-nighters that you used to pull, you know, by 9 o'clock, I want to be in bed. And so my motivation is finish before 9. yeah, it's different. I kind of giggle with some things because it is what it is. Like you've taught me, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
But I used to dislike when you used to say that, and then I find myself going, you know what, it is true. It is what it is. You can't change it. So, yes, but what do you find interesting as well?
Well, I mean, for me, it's been a challenge. For some reason, you know, I've been having problems with memorization, so that means retention. But I also overloaded myself with too many classes this semester, so I think that was part of the issue. And I ended up having to let go of two of them. So I was taking six classes. I mean, going to school is a full-time job, you know. And then I find that, you know, at our age, you know, with our responsibilities and our familial responsibilities, there is a lot of distractions going on at the same time. And so for me, I get distracted very easily. So I have to be very centered and you know, phones have to be off, television has to be off, everything has to be off because anything, you know, that distracts me is something that's going to pull me away and it's going to be hard to get me back to that point of centrification that I was at. So I've gotten a quiet room at the library that I go when I do study in. You know, when I'm serious about studying, that's where I go and I get my work done. And just, you know, talking to people in my life and asking them to be, what's the word that I'm looking for? To respect, you know, to respect the time that I need to do schoolwork, you know, setting aside some time for family, but also knowing that right now my first priority is, you know, getting through school and finishing it with as good a grade as possible. So, you know, communication is key, and then just praying a lot. I mean, I went to church the other day, and I've been visiting this university church, and the pastor said the other day, listen, the grades that you get, you're not getting them. You're getting, it's God getting them. So give it to him for his glory. And I've been trying that. And, you know, it's been working, you know, because really at the end of the day, he's the one that gave me the gift to be able to learn. So I've just been turning it around and giving it right back to him.
That's a good way of looking at it. And you know what? You're right. You're right as far as you get so distracted with so many things. And I guess the other day I missed a good friend of mine from childhood. Her daughter had a baby shower, and I had to choose between baby shower or finishing my thesis. and I finished my thesis, and I was so bummed out that now as an older person, I have to choose. And, you know, while everybody's having fun and going with their lives, I'm now going back to school, or I've been going back to school. And so that's frustrating for me. It's frustrating that there's a premiere tonight of a movie that I worked on a couple of years ago with, you know, several people. And, I already know who the actors are. They're in, you know, this new movie now. And I wanted to go and support my friend. But it was a choice between, okay, I have a thesis to finish and a show to do, and then I have to drive 2 hours to Los Angeles. It's just not going to be done. So there are sacrifices that have to be made, and people have to kind of respect it and also kind of understand. And some people get frustrated with me because the first thing I tell them, what date is that? Oh, no, I'm sorry, on a Thursday I have to have a QA, and on Saturday evening I have to have my my response, and by Sunday I have to finish my thesis. And those are two theses per week. And so, yeah, it's interesting, but I think that's my frustration. More so than remembering. It's just my frustration because, you know, this is a time that I probably should have been enjoying my grandkids and getting ready for retirement, but my life is just beginning. And I love it, and I'm thankful. I just realized, though, that sacrifices have to be made. So thank you for, you know, for sharing.
I like to have my foot in all the fun.
Well, see, that's the thing. And then, see, well, that at least you're with integrity on that. For me, I realize that I have to follow a schedule, and if I'm not on the schedule, I'm lost. And if I'm lost, I'm the one that's going to be suffering. So, with that said, getting back on timing here, I'm very excited, and I'm thankful that although I'm an older adult, I'm in a country where I can still go to school.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful that no matter how old I am, I can still get a degree. And so I'm very thankful for that. And this is Thanksgiving weekend, or in week, actually, week. So we need to, I need to continue, not just for the Thanksgiving week, but also throughout the year. I have to remember to be thankful for everything that that the Lord keeps on giving. Prayer requests. I have two prayer requests, and I wanted to know, do you have anything that you want to add on?
Well, if we have time at the end of the show, I'd like to know what you're thankful for.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely. And I think that we should take that opportunity to say what we're thankful for. But I have two prayer requests. There is a family that I had to be with them today. They just lost their mom, and I can't mention their name, but just want to put them in prayer, you know, as they begin the process of healing. 3 days ago, another family as well. And it is the hardest thing because they want to be thankful, and they're in a way kind of trying to show their thankfulness that their loved one was with them. But at the same time, as she said, intellectually, I know my heart says something different. So those are the two prayer requests that I do have. And the one is in general, all the people that have been brought to the Lord and have been recently baptized, that they continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in them, through them, and for them, as well as for myself. I'm dealing with some health issues that I would like to just put it out there. I don't want to get, you know, to talk about too much of that, but it is of great concern. And Ruthie, I'm going to be putting you in prayer as well, and your family, your daughter, your daughters. So that's something that we need to I would like to pray for.
I went for a procedure this week to the hospital, and I was talking to this lady, and she had a motorcycle accident. Her husband had left her after 21 years, and so she decided to go and buy herself a motorcycle and kind of be free. You know, that was how she kind of went and became, you know, that was her wild days, you know, following her devastating divorce. And she had an accident, and they had to operate on her leg, but because she has cancer, she's had cancer in the past, she's not healing the way that she should be, and so now the doctors are looking to see if they can avoid it, but more than likely they may have to amputate her leg. So she's struggling, you know, it's been a heck of a year for her with all these things, you know, the cancer, her husband leaving her, the motorcycle accident, and now possibly losing her leg. But she still had a smile on her face, and she was saying that, you know, this was God's way of kind of slowing her down and bringing her back to, you know, excuse me, reality. But, you know, she's fairly young. She's a beautiful lady, and I know that, you know, to be without a leg is, even with the medical advances and prosthetic legs, it still would be probably more than she could probably bear at this time. So if we could just lift her up in prayer, I would appreciate that.
Okay. Excellent. And we'll also put down ministry and times like these ministries. They would like to have prayer for this seminars that they're going to be conducting starting next year. And we'll put them on in prayer as well. That's in times like these ministries with Michael Johnson, Michael and Denise Johnson, pretty good leaders in the community. So I will start the prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you boldly, yet we come to you humbly at the foot of the cross to say thank you for the things that you have given us and thank you for the things that you have not given us, because we know that whatever you have for us, it's going to be far better than what we are expecting. Lord, we bring to you the petitions of many people that I have mentioned, but the two families that have lost their loved ones, please, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to bless them with your peace and healing. I also place Ruthie and her family, her younger and her older daughters, as they go through life, experiencing life as it is. I also place Ruthie and her health at the foot of the cross, Lord. You know what she's going through. You know what she has to come across and has to come and fight. I know that she's not fighting for herself. She's fighting through you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for that. Give her the strength for whatever she needs to take care of, as well as I ask you to give me the strength to take care of what needs to be taken care of. I lift up her friend also that she had this motorcycle accident. You know what she's going through, Lord. Oh, send your healing, Lord, to this young lady. Send a miracle that she's able to say, look what my God did. Lord, also, I ask you to take care of the ministries that are out there working with people. And take care of us old adult students dealing with memories and memory issues. And for me, just feeling like I'm not there because I'm not able to function in like I used to, going places and meeting people. My social life is gone, Lord. So I ask you to continue blessing us as we continue our academic endeavors. Lord, thank you for giving us another year of life, another year to have this show up and going. I ask you to bless those who are listening to us and our guests that are coming on our show. Take care of them always. All these things I pray, Lord, and if I've forgotten anything, please forgive me. If you can bring it back to your mind, which I know you will, to take care of us who are not able to speak. And I'm so grateful and thankful that Ruthie found her voice in this new journey that she's taking. So bless us all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ruthie.
Yes. You know what?
Believe it.
My eyes when you pray, and then I say, wait a minute, I'm driving.
Yeah, exactly. But isn't that like a normal response? Ruthie,
just thought I'd share that with you. Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, you can find us on Facebook, The Reborn Identity, or find us on Twitter. That's Reborn ID. Or if you have any questions or comments, visit us at www.thereborn.identity.com. We will be answering the emails. We have some gifts that we need to still send out. We had some callers last time, and those books are going to go out sometime next week now that I'm focusing back on the show. But if you are the first caller tonight, you will receive a special gift. Let me tell you who's going to be on our show this evening. It's going to be Neville Peter, Brother Neville Peter, Christian artist Neville Peter. Love his voice. God has and is blessing his ministry. Neville Peter was born November 17th, 1972, so he just had a birthday, and raised on the beautiful island of St. Thomas, not too far from Puerto Rico in Santo Domingo. Right? That is correct. St. Thomas, that's right. When he was about 6 months old, his parents noticed that he did not make eye contact with them anymore. He did not smile back when they smiled at him, nor did he respond to their face peering at him over the rails of his crib. His parents wondered if there was something wrong with his vision, so they took him to the doctor. He was diagnosed with glaucoma, which is a very painful disease that causes nerve damage in the eyes. At the time, not much could be done to stop the disease or repair the damage already done. Neville cannot remember ever being able to see perfectly, but he is thankful to God that he had the privilege of some sight for the first 12 years of his life. About the age of 5 or 6, he began to sing in church. During the congregation songs, he would sing as loud as he could. They say you could hear him above the organ and everyone else. He did it just for fun and because the older members seemed to enjoy his singing. However, his younger friends did not enjoy his singing that much, and they began to tease him about it. So he decided to tone it down, to sing softer, or not sing at all. However, the older members began to ask him, "What happened? Why didn't I hear you today?" To which he replied, "I was singing bass." Oh, that's funny. At the age of 14, Neville began to study piano. It was offered as an elective at his school. 2 years later, he rediscovered his voice at a high school Christmas concert where the audience gave him a standing ovation. Not long after, he began receiving invitations to sing at other concerts, church events, and talent shows on the island. This led him to reconsider his career options. He began taking his music very seriously. By this time, most of his musical interests were geared towards jazz, pop, reggae, and R&B. He began singing in many of the local nightclubs, but out of love and respect for his parents, he still attended church and would sing there from time to time. At age 19, Neville left St. Thomas and moved to Miami. There he attended the University of Miami, where he received his BA in studio music and voice vocal jazz. While in college, he received an award from Down Beat magazine for Best National College Jazz Male Vocalist of the Year. During this time, he began performing on South Beach and other clubs in the Miami area. Neville has toured with Cassandra Wilson and has worked with Gladys Knight. When Gladys heard a recording of him singing his original music, she said that he was destined for the Grammys. However, shortly thereafter, his career in secular music was cut short by God's divine providence. Although resisting God's call initially, on January 1st, 1998, while playing at a New Year's Eve party in Michael Caine's restaurant, Neville decided that he had seen all the world had to offer, and he did not find it appealing. It was at that moment he resolved to give all of his talents to God without withholding nothing. He then began writing and performing Christian music, and God has really blessed him. Just real quickly, he has written over 100 gospel songs and has had the privilege of sharing the stage with Bishop T.D. Jakes, Gladys Knight, Donnie McKirkland, Yolanda Adams, Natalie Cole, Shirley Caesar, Richard Smallwood, Kurt Carr, B.B. Winan, and many others. He has performed at the White House, Carnegie Hall, and appeared on many television programs, including TVN Praise the Lord program, I Gospel with Alicia Williamson, Celebration of Praise with Ron Ronson and Cynthia and Friends. During an interview, he was asked, if new technology were developed that would allow you to regain your sight, would you want to take advantage of it? His answer gives such an insight into his love for the Lord. He paused and thought and then said, well, yes and no. Yes, because it would be nice to be able to get into my car and just go wherever I want without having to depend on other people. But no, because I think it would be really cool if the first face that I see is the face of Jesus. That is Neville Peter, and he is going to be on. I would like to play his wonderful song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please enjoy. We'll be right back.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Yeah.
One more song for you so that you can enjoy. His new CD is coming out, and please enjoy this one more, The Way My Savior Leads Me. Enjoy, and we'll be right with you.
Savior leads me. Oh.
my Father's house above. Oh, and when I wake to life immortal, and I fly to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus kept me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus kept me, my God kept me, Lord, you kept me, Lord, you kept me, thank you for keeping me all the way. Ooh. Hallelujah, God, you kept me.
That is amazing. He has such a great voice. Ruthie, what do you think? Hello, Ruthie.
Hello?
Of course. Yes, of course.
Unmute you so then you can be able to talk, huh?
It's been a while, but anyway, what did you think? Isn't he amazing? God is good.
It's amazing. He has a beautiful voice. God bless him. Very soothing.
It is. And you know what? His music is going through the whole world, and he is just basically witnessing to so many people. And in fact, it's funny that we're saying he's witnessing to many people because he was scheduled to call in. And he is, but he was finishing a meeting. In fact, he was witnessing to someone, which took him a little bit longer to call in. So not a problem, because he was like, I was witnessing and I was doing God's work. And we already know that in a Christian radio station, we know that God is going to put us in situations where we really need to talk about him, regardless of where we need to be. And we cannot miss that opportunity. So again, Neville Peter is coming out with his new CD, and I'm actually excited to find out how it's going to be and how to get that information. Welcome, Neville Peter. Are you online?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
Neville! That's Ruthie.
Hey.
That's one of my...
Oh, wonderful. How are you, Ruthie?
I am driving to Dallas. I'm driving on I-45. Other than that, I'm good. And
oh, wow.
I'm doing great.
Man, technology is wonderful. You can do a radio program and drive at the same time.
And isn't that amazing?
Thank
That's
God for
amazing.
The food. And free.
Yeah. Knowledge shall increase, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been talking about your new CD. You are coming out with a new CD, and I've been seeing two more songs or three more songs, and now one more song. What is that all about?
Well, I am in the process of recording a CD called Look Up. You know, Jesus said that when we see these things, we should look up because our redemption is coming. And so I've recorded about 10 songs so far, and some of the songs are about heaven, and then some of the songs are just about the second coming, and also just to encourage one another, to encourage the saints, you know, when they go through difficult times and things like that. I was planning on putting 14 songs on the CD. And so what you saw was just me saying I have four more songs to record. You must be on my newsletter.
Yes.
You must receive
it. I am. Yes, I am.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So, Ruthie, I'm going to put you on his newsletter as well, because you know what? You really need to. Yeah, this is amazing. I see when I went to see you at the concert that was not in San Gabriel, I actually started looking at the people around, how they were touched, and I was touched, and they were touched, and it was like, you know what, God is using you in a mighty way.
Amen.
And you know, that is, we're supposed to use our talents for him.
Amen. It's a blessing.
It is a blessing, because if we don't use our talents for him, then who are we using it for? Because we can't sit in the middle, right? And so you have this awesome, and then your lovely wife was there, and I just, it's just a beautiful couple, and you know, God has great examples of what people should do with their talents. And Ruthie, we have to go and see him in concert. You and I, just that we can just, you know, you can experience what I experienced that day, and it was a blessing. Now, please tell us. I was reading your bio out loud, and everybody heard. Mm-hmm. You were raised in a church. First and foremost, you're a neighbor of ours, because Puerto Rico and Santo Domingo is not that far.
Oh, what? I didn't know you were from Santo Domingo.
Oh,
okay.
Ruthie, and I'm from Puerto Rico. Okay. Oh, well, my parents are from Puerto Rico, so, you know. Well, Ruthie's from New York City. Her parents are from Santo Domingo. Yes, I know. Before you clarify.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I was born on the island of St. Thomas,
mm-hmm.
which is in the Caribbean as well. And yes, I was born into a Christian home, Adventist family, and it was quite a experience, because both my parents were I guess you could say recent converts, you know. But when I got to be a certain age, you know, when you get to be that teenager type age, how you begin to have other priorities, and coolness, unfortunately, at times becomes more of a priority than holiness. And I discovered that I had a little bit of a voice when I was 16, and, you know, that's when I kind of started making my journey out of the church and began to perform in the nightclubs. And you know what Jesus says, a little leaven, you know, leavens the whole lump. So just a little, you know, deviation kind of took me out, you know, out there. I never got too far away, but, you know, it took me in a direction where I was kind of doing that fence sitting kind of thing, you know. And for a while, I was out of the church, but the Lord never allowed me to get too far. I don't know if I have time to give you my whole testimony, but I'm glad I'm back today, that's for sure.
And that's where I was talking to Ruthie about. See, Ruthie and I, we know each other from first grade.
Oh, wow,
okay.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, so Ruthie's my peeps. You know, her mom used to babysit me, okay? So what happened is that I was telling her that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but you were giving your testimony about that you used to sing for the church, and one day that just, you know, it became personal for you. You know,
mm-hmm.
it became, and then you wrote that song, and I don't have a copy of that to
I thought I did
play.
Send it to you.
Well, you did, but I didn't upload it. But it's so beautiful. It's Ruthie, you have to hear it. You have to hear it. But anyway, it became personal for you.
It sure did. You know what I love about the Lord is that He courts you like a man courts the woman that he loves. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He gives you time to consider and to reason, as he said in his word, come let us reason together. So he gives you time to think about his proposals, and, you know, not only that, but if we were to really spend some time and to consider what he's actually proposing, which is eternal life in exchange for everything here, which is temporal, you know, and is only for a season, then we can't help but to make it personal with him. And then another consideration is the fact that, you know, God, Jesus left heaven to come here to this earth, you know, to this sin-cursed earth, and we don't know the joys of heaven. And I believe that the joys of heaven, as the Bible says, are far beyond what we can even imagine. And so if he had come to this dark world to be a king of this dark world, then, you know, maybe it would have been a huge sacrifice already. But he didn't even do that. He came and he walked on this earth as someone, as he said, not even having a home. He came and walked on this earth I don't want to say a homeless person, but the Bible does sort of seem to imply, you know, that he definitely subjected himself to poverty.
Yeah,
so,
it was,
you know,
like a nomad,
Right, you know, so it just seems like a real huge contrast, you know, and the only reason why I brought that up is to say that, wow, it was personal enough for him to make that type of sacrifice. And I believe when we consider what Christ went through here on earth and what he gave up for us, you know, it'll be easy to love him back. It'll be easy to do everything that he requires once we consider what his love for us required of him. You know, love always requires something of the person that's doing the loving, because love is always something that is tested by outside forces, you know. And so that is the reason why it became personal for me. When I came face to face with the realization, you know, number one, that, you know, I have to know Jesus for myself. You know, Jesus, you know, God doesn't have any stepchildren. You know, I hope I'm not sucking up the air, but I just love talking about the Lord, you know. So I'll just say this, and then you can ask me another question. But, you know, God doesn't have any stepchildren. You know what I'm saying? We're all the children of God. We all have that opportunity to be a son and a daughter of God if we really and truly, sincerely want that. And I was at the point where I wanted that. And that's the inspiration for that song, Personal.
Wow. Go ahead.
From my understanding, you traveled the world, you performed with some of the major acts of our time, and you had pretty much the world at your plate. According to your bio, Gladys Knight said, you were destined for a Grammy. What made you come to that point that you said, I don't want this, I want God? What was it that, you know, at that point, I'm imagining that you were not walking in faithfulness, so what was it that made you come to that point to go back to your roots?
Well, it was several different factors in that. But I would say that my journey, well, two places. My journey began when I remembered something that my mother said in worship when I was a kid. It sounds kind of strange, but I remember, you know, my mother, she had just finished reading The Great Controversy, or one of those Spirit of Prophecy books, and we were kids. And she was the kind of person that liked to share, you know, her experiences. And so I remember her telling us that when you see all the denominations trying to come together, and especially when you see them uniting with the Roman Catholic Church, that you can know that the end is near.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was born in the, you know, in 72. I don't mind dating myself. And I guess when she told me that, it was, I was about 10 or 11 or 12 or something like that in the early 80s, when, you know, ecumenism, that's the term we call it today, was really not on the minds of anyone. And so I didn't give it a second thought. But then, you know, we fast forward 10 more years later, and now I'm living in Miami, Florida, and the Pope is coming to Miami, and you know, I just couldn't help but notice how everybody was, like, just so into him and just so enamored with him. And I mean, everybody, Catholic and Protestant and non-believer alike, everybody. And that had a huge impact on me. It really made me think. It really made me stop and say, well, maybe there must be some truth to this thing. You know, maybe I should stop for a little longer and reconsider. And so that's kind of really what I did. I you know, it was just, you know, like how the Bible says, you know, seeds being planted. It was sort of a seed. It was a seed being planted. And then, you know, around that time, I had met an individual that had been witnessing to me. And from time to time, I would go to church with this person. And to make a long story short, I had began to go to church with this person quite regularly after, you know, having met them, you know, after several years after meeting them. And one night I was playing in a club. Michael Caine, the actor, he had a restaurant down on South Beach in Miami. And it was just like the Lord was just saying to me, you know, is this what you want to be doing for the rest of your life? And I had come to the realization that a lot of these people are empty. You know, I don't want to go into anybody's personal lives, but a lot of these people are empty and they use all kinds of substances and have bad habits and things like that to fill the void. And so, you know, I decided that, you know, I didn't really want to do that for the rest of my life. You know, that, you know, if all there was in my future was to be a star, then, you know, some kind of, you know, musical star or singing star or something like that, that there was a whole lot more to life than that. You know, that didn't really seem to have a whole lot of purpose to it. And so as a result, you know, I got up that next morning after coming home and decided that it was January 1st of 1998 and decided that my life would take a different course. And praise God, you know, it did. You know, that's really only half of it. But
right.
that's the main point really on how, you know, I kind of got started on that journey back to the Lord.
Wow.
Wow.
So, right, you see, and so you had plenty of opportunities to literally choose one way or the other. And, you know, as you were saying, you know, it is now that people that have been straddling the fence or sitting on the fence are starting to realize, wait a minute, something is happening. In fact, I was talking to somebody just recently, and they go, and they're not Christians. They believe, but they're not really, you know, they're not Christians. They go, I don't know what's going on, but whatever's going on, it's going to get really ugly. And it's like, yeah. And it says it in the Bible. So this is your reborn experience. Now, during your process of conversion, did you experience a backlash from your family? Or because they were all Christians, it didn't really matter?
No, I didn't receive a backlash from my family. In fact, they were really happy for me. I remember when I got rebaptized and I called my mom because they were all praying for me. You know, and that's another thing I, you know, want to say that, you know, if there's anybody that's listening to this program that has children that are out there and you want to see them back in a relationship with the Lord, you know, don't stop praying and don't never give up. I mean, you might not even see it. The Lord might lay you to sleep before it actually happens, but, you know, and then you'll be resurrected, and who's going to come looking for you? That same person that you had been praying for. And so I know I kind of digressed for a little while, but I just wanted to say that I remember my parents were very, very, very happy. And I remember one night, just to show you to the depth of which my mother prayed for me, I remember one Friday night, I don't remember if I had called home or if she had called me, and she said to me, so what are you doing tonight? You know, and I know she wasn't expecting me to say what I said, or maybe she did, I don't know, but I said to her, well, you know, I have a gig tonight, you know. That's sort of musician slang for I have a performance tonight, you know. And it was a Friday night, and I was playing in some club somewhere. I can't remember exactly the name of the club right now. But and I'll never forget what she did. You know, she just kind of stopped for a second, and then she just started praying for me right then and there out loud. And she said, you know, Lord, forgive him for his sin that he's about to commit right now. You know, and it just really moved me. You know, it really did. I mean, I never forgot that. You know, and that's another thing I'd like to say for people who are striving with unbelievers or striving to get people back into the church. You don't know what, you know, or how, let's put it that way. You don't know how, you know, your comments, your words, your actions are affecting the person that you're witnessing to. And so, you know, the best thing to do is to be patient and to ask God to shine his light through you, you know, as bright as can be, you know, because, you know, during those times you are representing the Lord in the best way that you can, because you're winning a soul for the kingdom.
You know, it's interesting. I commend you for being open to your mom praying over you, because I know many people probably would have been offended or felt uncomfortable with something like that going on. So that, you know, that's just commendable.
Well, if I remember correctly, I did sort of feel uncomfortable, but it was my mom, you know, so I had to respect her. I had to respect her, you know. But I never forgot it, and it made a huge impact on me. And that's why I was saying again that it's so important that when we try to reach other people, that we are kind, we're gentle, we're not arguing, we show them the love that God has shown to us.
Right.
And I believe that when God, you know, begins to shine his love through us, it causes us to do some extraordinary things, you know. And that's, I consider what she did to be an extraordinary thing.
That's a mother's love. It's unconditional. Just like
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and she allowed the Holy Spirit. Now, may I, with your permission, play personal?
Oh,
Rudy,
you sure
you
can.
Hear this. Okay, I'm going to play personal. I was able to upload it. And please enjoy this. This is one of my favorite Christian artists right now. His name is Neville Peter, and we have him on. And I'm just going to play personal. And when you listen to this, or whoever's listening to this right now, I want you to listen to the lyrics, because you know what? It is personal between you and God. So please enjoy. We'll be right back. Church always seemed too long. They always Time I hear that song, it makes me cry because it is personal. You know, we can sit in our pews, go through the motions, and really not know God. But when you do know Him, when He touches you, when the Holy Spirit embraces you, and you accept Him and allow Him in, it's no longer impersonal, it's personal. And that's a beautiful, I just thank you for allowing us to play that this evening. It's beautiful. It's
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Well, a love relationship with Jesus is beautiful.
And people don't know that. And what I notice that people tell me, I can't go to him. I have to get better first before I can go to him. And God is saying, I stand at the door and knock. I don't care how you open it up. You can open it up naked or with a towel. It doesn't matter. I stand at the door and wait for you. And he doesn't force himself. Unlike Satan, he doesn't force himself. He wants you to come to him and build, as humans, when we want to go out with someone or we find somebody attractive, we're going to start building relationship, right? We're going to start building and talking a little bit. Well, the same thing is with the Lord. He's calling us.
Right.
He's waiting for us. We've been running from him since Genesis, okay? Adam, where are you? Adam, when they're saying where are you, that means someone has taken off. And it's not the person that is standing there looking for. So, I'm thank you for allowing us to play that. Now, my other question here, did you ever think that you would be where you are now?
I had some idea. I am not sure if I had the idea that I would, let me see how to put it.
Okay.
I had some idea that I would be doing what I'm doing in the capacity that I'm doing it at, because I remember, back when I had just come to the Lord and I was starting to really see how personal this relationship with him can be. I remember saying to him, Lord, take my life and do something, for your glory. And I remember just, receiving a very strong impression on my mind while I was praying that prayer that the Lord was going to take my music and use it to preach the three angels' messages across the whole world. I didn't really know exactly at that time how that was going to happen. I had some strange ideas at the time that maybe he would, cause me to get this big Christian record label contract and I would do it that way, So in that sense, I can't say that I know for sure that I would be doing what I'm doing now, because I'm an independent artist and the Lord has shown me that that's how I need to remain, at least for now anyway. But I always knew from the time I felt that he communicated that to me, that my purpose, my calling was to use music, to herald his soon return and to show people how to prepare for that coming, to show people what is required of them, and also, to cause people to receive deeper revelations of truth, deeper revelations of what God is really like, I try as well to be vulnerable in the music, so that people can see, that God really does, want ordinary people to do extraordinary things by his power. Because only ordinary people can only do ordinary things. But when we connect ourselves to his power, then we do extraordinary things. And so, I really feel that, and believe that God is going to continue to use the music to touch a lot of souls. I'm not quite sure to what capacity or how far he's going to take it, but I can say that I'm seeing everything that he told me so far as a fulfillment. I guess that's the long answer to your question, but...
No. And I see that. And you said something that was really interesting. In fact, in your music, there is a transparency, which needs to be. It comes from the soul, where sometimes you hear songs and they're, or Christian songs, and they're just singing it. There's a transparency that shows the Holy Spirit working. And maybe it's just me. I know I see this and I hear, I don't know if you knew this, but I actually worked in Hollywood and work with a lot of artists, but not in your capacity. I worked with actors, and the skill set, you can tell when a person is really acting out of their soul, or they're really just superficially acting. The same thing with music. They're either performing or they're literally singing to God. And that's what I see. And thank God there are several artists that do that, where you can just be moved and there's something going on here. Being independent, God is saying, let me be your boss. Show you what
Amen.
I can do.
Okay? Amen.
So like the Gideon effect. Let me just handle it. Let me show you. Okay. So that's a wonderful thing, because then you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you than others leading you. Can you give us one or two testimonies about your music and how you've heard so many people telling you so many things about how it's touched their lives? Can you give us a couple of testimonies?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I get emails all the time. I just got an email from somebody. I was going through my emails last night, and somebody emailed me and said that the Lord had really been convicting them on music and their choices of music, and how hard it is to find artists, that are still creative, but keep the creativity within the boundaries that God has outlined for his people. And he was just expressing thanks to me for that. And he was telling me how, much he really appreciates that. And then I remember, I think it was last year. This was to me, one of the most amazing testimonies. This lady called me and told me that her daughter just died. Her daughter was diagnosed with leukemia. And she said in the last moments of her daughter's life, her daughter somehow got a hold of my music. My first album, there's a song called Be Thou Faithful. It's based on Revelation 2:10. And she said that her daughter had began to just really take that song literally and that scripture literally, and began to witness to everybody she came in contact with. And she was actually the girl's stepmother, and she said that this girl had an opportunity to witness to her biological mother, and she just impacted so many lives in the last few months of her life, based on that song that she had received. And she died of leukemia, and her mother told me that on her coffin they emblazoned the words, "Be thou faithful unto death."
Wow.
That was the song that I had written. It's really like, wow. That's kind of like, I don't know. It's just amazing.
It's humbling. It's an unbelievable yet amazing and humbling. A humbling because, this is what I, when a person comes to me, and they say, 5 years later, they say, because of you, and you just met them, you just worked with them for just for a minute in a lifetime, mm-hmm. and they come back and they say, because of you, and I have to remind them it's because of God, but because of mm-hmm. you, I've changed my life, I got off of drugs, you saved my life. It is like overwhelming. At the same time, it's so humbling, because I'm going, God, you chose me. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling. I don't know how to explain it, that someone can be touched in such a way. And then it comes down to Matthew 28, the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're disciples. We're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to tell people
right.
how God pulled us through, carried
right.
us through, and taken us through.
Right.
And through our testimonies, people do change, and they have their own testimonies.
Exactly.
And it keeps
exactly.
on going.
Yeah, that touched me. That story really touched me. It was like God saying, you see, I'm using you. I'm fulfilling on that promise I made to you so many years ago. Because at the time he made that promise, I had just started teaching, you know, because I had come out of secular music. Actually, I wasn't even really completely out of secular music yet. But when I had first made that transition out of secular music, I didn't just go right into ministry. I mean, he had me out there teaching music to kids who didn't really have their own motivation for music. And it was a very, very humbling experience, you know, coming from, you know, playing in the clubs and the girls coming up and talking to you. And, you know, your mindset is just completely different. Now, here you have to communicate to kids who have no appreciation really for what you're trying to do. It was just an extremely humbling experience. And then the Lord comes and says, this is what I'm going to do with you. And, you know, at the moment, you know, I didn't see how he could do it. And now here I am hearing amazing testimonies like that. You know, I heard another testimony. I was in Australia. I toured Australia for the last part of September and the first part of October. And while I was there, I passed through a town. Probably shouldn't name the name of the town. But,
okay.
Well, I don't know if this person would want, you know. So, you know, I got an email a few, about maybe a day or two later after that concert I did at this person's church. And they said to me, you know, I had left the church, you know, but from time to time I would come back for programs and special speakers and things like that, you know. And she said, I came to your concert and it touched me so much that I think I'm going to start, you know, really giving God a second chance with my life and coming back to church more regularly now. You know, and again, it's just like, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, this is really what we, you know, are called to do, like you were saying, make disciples of others. I mean, I'm not that much of a speaker or a preacher. I'm amazed by preachers, and I hope to preach someday. But at least right now, you know, I'm using the little talent that I have to spread the love of God. And to give people revelations of that love, and I'm grateful.
Well, we're grateful. I'm grateful, and I know Ruthie. What did you think about Personal?
It was an amazing song. I mean, oh my goodness, the lyrics are. I have to listen to it again to be honest with you, but they were extremely touching. You could tell that they were coming from the soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you, because I know it's a question that's on a lot of people's minds. What about those artists that, Christian artists that remain in the secular world? And do you think that they too are able to reach people despite being in the secular world for God's glory?
I don't think so. Now, I would say that God can use anything. He can make a donkey to talk. So he can use anything. But I believe that it's a lot easier for God, because we just said that God doesn't force himself. It's
right.
A lot easier for God to use someone who is sold out for his glory than to use someone, you know, who, and I can attest to that, because I was one of those artists for a while, who is going to sing, you know, I'll make love to you, and then on the same album, you're going to put a song about God. It just doesn't work that way. You know, I was one of those artists where, you know, in the club, I would sing, Let Me Hold You Tight, If Only for One Night, and then I would go and witness to the waitresses. But I had just sung a song about adultery. I mean, it just doesn't go together. You know, the Word of God says, can two walk together unless they agree? You know, well, if they don't agree, then how can they really walk together? You know, can light and darkness, you know, abide in the same place? It cannot. You know what I'm saying? So I personally feel that many of those artists, like myself, because like I said, I was there, so I'm not talking down to anyone. But I think many of those artists are just deceived. You know, I hope that that's not too harsh of a word, but it's the truth, so I hope I said it in love. And if anybody heard me, I hope you received it in love. But it's true. It's a deception. It's a trick from Satan, really. You know, you can't be more like the world to win the world. God has always required his people to be distinct from the world. And when the world sees that difference, they'll see what their soul is longing for and want what you have. But if you're like them, you know, then why would they want what you have if you're just like mm-hmm. them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons why some unbelievers poke fun at Christians, because it seems as if the church is always one step behind the world. And I think that's one of the reasons why most people don't take God or Christianity seriously. But if we were to be radically, if our lives were to be radically changed by the power and the love of God, people wouldn't help but notice. They couldn't help but notice.
Exactly. They will see something different. And you know what's funny that you say that, because I have spoken to current occult members, and they say, you Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. You guys do the same thing that we do, but then you name it in the name of God and Jesus. And you guys are, you know, some of you guys are in both, doing both things. And I'm like going, you know what? You are right.
You are right.
But there will come a day where they have to choose this day who you will serve.
Right.
And that day is coming sooner than later. And for some people, they're starting to realize, especially with, you know, just things that are happening right now. Some parents come up to me and they go, what's going on with my kid? Well, you're allowing your kid to be in both the world and in the church. You're not teaching them to have that communication with God. You're not teaching them out of love. And so, therefore, you know, when they hit 18, they're gone. And,
right.
You know, but then you have the adults that know better. And, yeah, the world keeps on making fun of us, you know, and then when we have different pastors or different people that are on the news for doing something really outrageous that is not glorifying God in the first place, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christians are like this. Now, let me ask you, what are you currently working on, and how do we get your next CD?
Well, I am currently working on that album, Look Up. In fact, it's funny. Like I said earlier, I'm in the process of wrestling over these last four songs. Right now I'm writing a song called All Things New, and it's based on Revelation, where in Revelation 21, where God promises, I will make all things new. And really, that's kind of the words of the song, the main point of the song, where God is saying, all of these things will be made new. And it's about the new Jerusalem descending to earth and things like that. So I'm really excited about this CD. I think this is probably going to be one of my favorite CDs, actually. You know, sometimes when I'm selling CDs, people say, what's your favorite one? Well, it's always the one I'm working on, to be honest with you. but yeah, this one, I have to say, is going to be one of my favorites. I just use, actually, the songs that the Lord gave me on this CD to be an encouragement to me. You know, some of those songs have encouraged me. So I'm praying that they'll be an encouragement to others, and it'll take people's minds off of earth, you know, and cause them to look up to the second coming and look towards heaven and remember the promises of God, you know, that he has gone to prepare a place for us, and that if he made the promise, that it's a promise that we can take to the bank, and that this promise will come through. So
what is
you can
that
get
saying?
My CDs. I'm sorry?
What is that saying? God said it, And I believe it, and that settles it for me.
And that settles it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying that, you know, your listeners can go to NevillePeter.com. That's NevillePeter.com. And you can click on any of the CD titles that you see on the homepage, and it'll take you to another page where you can listen to samples from the CD and read stories on how the music was inspired. And then at the bottom of that page, you will see a proceed to checkout button. And if you click that proceed to checkout button, it'll take you to the store where you can purchase the CD. So that's how you can purchase the CD. You can get my CDs online.
So now, if a person doesn't want to wait for it to come to them, they can also purchase it and download the music.
Exactly, yeah. If you don't want to wait, you know, for shipping, you can actually, there's an option in the web store where you can purchase the CD as a downloadable. And as soon as you purchase it, a link will be sent to email will be sent to you with a link in it. And you can click on that link and a file, you can download the file with all the music in it, the liner notes, the lyrics, CD picture, and everything.
Okay, wow. And that automatically will put them on the newsletter as well?
No, you can, there's a link on the website where I think it says sign up for the mailing list or something to that effect. You can go on the homepage and click that link, and it'll you'll fill out a form, just a quick form, where you leave your email and your first name, and then you'll be signed up to the mailing list like that. Or, you know, you can also sign the mailing list if you want to go, if you have a Facebook account, you can go to my fan page on Facebook. You know, my musician page on Facebook has that same sign the mailing list link, and you can click that link and sign up to my mailing list from there. So you can do it either on my website or on my fan page, Neville Peter, on Facebook.
So you will have the music that you're working on right now. The CD is not released as of yet, but it will be released within the next couple of months, you think?
Yeah, I'm hoping for the spring of next year. I'm shooting for maybe April of next year. I may have some touring to do in the spring of next year, so that date might be pushed into the summer. I'm hoping that it's not, but we'll see, because I'm still wrestling with God over these last four songs. So as soon as I can get these last four songs written, and then, of course, I would need to find a picture, you know, for the cover, and then have the finishing touches done to it, you know. And then of course I'll have it out. But if you're on my mailing list, what I do with people on my mailing list, I always give them updates, and I sometimes send them samples of the music that I have recorded. And I also actually send the people on my mailing list free songs from time to time.
Yes, that's how I got mine.
Oh, okay, yeah, you know. And yeah, you can download free songs from time to time. Every Christmas I send a free song. Sometimes it's a Christmas song, sometimes it's not, you know. But yeah, those are some of the benefits of being a part of the mailing list.
Now, you said that you were going to tour. Now, I have several pastors, actually several hundred pastors on that are listening to these shows. What would you say if they needed to get a hold of you to perform at their church or have a concert or any of the, you know, the people, the listeners, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, you can reach me on the contact link through my website. You can also reach me through Facebook, because I'm always checking my fan page on Facebook. You can also reach me at this number, the same number that you called me at, 407-222-4488. That's the number that I accept all calls for the ministry on. And that would be pretty much it. You can email me as well. Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E, at NevillePeter.com.
Okay. So you are still taking, you're still booking your calendar for next year. And so
for next year, right.
So you're open now for next year, and people can call you if they would like a concert. Well, you know, I've taken a lot of your time this evening. I just want to say thank you so much. Neville,
you're very welcome.
Thank you. Is there any, Ruthie, do you have any questions for Brother Peter, or are you still on the line? Because I know you were driving.
No, I am. You know, I almost lost control of the car and crashed.
Well, okay, that's not a good thing. Okay, well, you know, we don't need sound effects at the end.
No, oh my goodness, I swerved to avoid a animal on the road, and I lost control, and oh my God.
Didn't I say make sure you only hit any critters on the road? What was it, squirrel? But okay, but I'm glad that you're okay. Thank God. Is there anything that you wanted to ask?
I am at a loss for words, Mel, so I'm going to say no.
Okay, I understand. But listen, is there any final words that you might want to say to our listener, Brother Peter?
Well, you know, I would just like to leave people with this thought, and, you know, it's, you know, simple thought, you know. I just want to encourage everybody to trust in God. Those of you who have known Him before, and maybe you might want to come back and you can't figure out how to get back. You know, the Bible says that God leaves the 99 and comes for the one. And you are that one. And so right now you have an opportunity to just say in the quietness of your own heart, you know, Lord, I can't give you my life on my own, so I'm asking you and giving you permission to take it. And He will do just that. And, you know, He, as He promised, you know, the plans that He has for you are to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And if you give Him all your heart, He says that you will find Him. You will find Him. And, you know, I would also like to urge you to consider Him, to consider His life, and to consider how personal it was for Him to make the sacrifices that He made for you. And I want to encourage you to keep that first and foremost in your mind, you know, so that when people in the church offend you, you'll remember that it's not about them. And it's about you and Jesus. And if you live a life of complete submission to His will, you know, you will finally be able to see Him and meet Him face to face and embrace Him and thank Him personally for going to the cross for you. And I'll be looking for you up there as well, because I'm intending on being there myself.
Amen.
So those
Amen.
Are my words.
Okay, well, Neville, I want to say I thank you so much. If I may, at the instead of playing the RBI tag for the evening, as I end the show, I would like to play Personal for those who haven't heard it or who want to hear it one more time. Would we be able to get that opportunity to do that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. The International New Version, which is the NIV scripture for today, is found in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. This is our first show in 3 months or 2.5 months. I thank all those who have been listening this evening with Neville Peter, and his awesome voice. Please remember, have a good night, everyone. May you be blessed. Remember, please keep yourselves educated in the word, that no one may deceive you. Do good unto others, and keep your eyes focused on Christ. Look up, stay looking up, and know that one day he will come back again. May you all be ready to say, I fought the good fight. Until next Sunday, may God bless you. Ruthie, you have a wonderful evening. We'll talk again. And again, we will go ahead and play It's Personal, or Personal by Neville Peter. And enjoy. God bless. Oh, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
About you're the only friend I
can't live without. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Oh, how I love you, Lord. This time is personal. Thank you.